So,
what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to our weekly marriage hour here on Trending. If you'd like to join the conversation, I have a question for you. If you're married, were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? Yes? No? If you did, how did it go for you? What was your stance on this? Give me a call. The number's 1-888-914-9149. Why did it not matter that the person you were marrying was Catholic? Again, give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. If you have a question today related to marriage, dating, relationships, we'd love to hear from you. Again, that number's 1-888-914-9149. Coming up today, we're going to be discussing some of the common arguments for divorce. We'll also discuss whether or not moving in together is the next step in a relationship. Also, there's fascinating data showing why marriage matters, especially for kids. So join us for that and more today during our Marriage Hour. Again, join us with your questions. You can always reach out live during the show on social media. Just head over to relevantradio.com/trending. So it was really funny the other day. Well, today's been a difficult day with the baby. I think she's teething. But the other night, we had a rough night and the baby was being difficult and I was feeling very frustrated. And my husband's always the first one often in the middle of the night to jump up and help with the baby, especially as I'm like in this deliria of like him moving along. And he's incredibly helpful. And this was probably the only night in I don't know how long he did not beat me to the punch. And so I very begrudgingly and frustrated, oh, I have to help, you know, do this. I'm complaining in my mind. And I'm so annoyed. And after I'm done taking care of the baby, I just wanted to roll over and say something terrible to him or complain. I was just ready. And I roll over and I look at him and he's literally got this huge, kind smile on his face. I go, Gabe? Gabriel? Are you awake? He said, what? And I said, are you awake? He said, yes. And I said, are you smiling at me? Like, are you actually smiling at me? I couldn't believe he was smiling at me when I was about to just bring the heat. And he completely diffused the bomb that was coming his way. And it made me laugh because it's the smallest things that can diffuse situations in marriage. But it also reminded me how important it is that we're giving our best to our spouses. Sometimes when dealing with life, work, family, kids, it's easy to give your spouse the worst of you. It was easy for me in that moment to just want to pick and complain and be frustrated. And I didn't let that happen. And it was so important. But this also brings me to, I think, another issue right now. In the midst of COVID, a lot of marriages are in this funky place. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone, and we were actually discussing how COVID has impacted all of us with working from home and our marriages. And my friend was saying, you know, we've done really well. We're not, you know, one of those couples who's at risk for a divorce or at each other's throats. But she said, I was just telling my husband, I'm actually really looking forward to him going back to work. And I said, really? Why? And she said, well, don't get me wrong. I've loved being together throughout the day. We really enjoyed our time and it's gone well. But she said, I'm ready to be able to kind of be that like lazy, frumpy self during the day as I'm taking care of the baby and working. And then when he gets home from work, I can get ready. I can be prepared. I can be present and aware and more intentional with my time. And she said this, COVID has been a major romance killer. And I think it's because so many people, for some people have loved it. It has been one of those moments where we kind of take for granted being around each other all day long. And so we don't really spend intentional time around one another. And it really brought to question kind of this whole idea of giving our best, doing things with a cheerful heart, and not just letting your spouse be taken for granted. And looking forward, I think also to the opportunities you have to love and give to your spouse. This attitude of service within marriage that's so important. And sometimes when we're together all the time, that can make it a little difficult. And, you know, as I was really thinking about this, there are a few things I think we can work on as men and as women when it comes to marriage, especially at the end of the day. And so I was talking to my husband about this earlier. Like, what is it that can be done on both our sides that we can be better when you get home from work to make the night easier and more enjoyable for each other? And so we're talking about, from a man's perspective, how easy it is and how much men desire to just kick back, relax, unwind. And he was saying two things that he's really worked on and that mean a lot to me personally is he has this attitude when he gets home, what can I do to help? And even if he doesn't outright ask what he can do, he's eager and looking around and ready to assist in whatever way is necessary. And second, that he's mentally aware and engaged. And again, not just unwinding and becoming silent and absent, which is so easy to happen. And so I thought those were two really great things. What can I do to help out? Whether it's being eager and ready, but also willing to ask the question if necessary. But then two, again, being mentally aware and engaged in conversation. Now, for us women, I think two things, and all of these are really easy to do if we're intentional with them. And I try really hard. I've tried to do this since the beginning of marriage. When my husband gets home, to be excited when he comes home, to look forward to him being there, greet him, say hello. Now, for some people, that can be the really bouncy, bubbly person, or it could be simple. Just saying hi, giving a person a hug, greeting people. You know, even as simple as greeting at the door, you notice that someone's coming home, this culture of honor and respect that sometimes, you know, we've said it before, familiarity breeds contempt. And it's easy to kind of have this attitude of someone, especially within marriage, kind of being overseen and almost beneath our consideration to do those simple things that were done earlier in the marriage and earlier in relationship when we were trying to please or prove something to people. The other thing that us women can do, which is a challenge, especially in the COVID world, is to look nice, to be presentable. Don't be our frumpy selves. I know everyone's discovered that they love the sweatpants, the no makeup and everything during COVID, but these are all really, I think, good reminders as we've been in the midst of this weird work from home, not work from home environment for over a year now, to be thoughtful toward our spouses, but above all, bring our best in marriage. Our spouses deserve our best. Whether these things are something that you need to work on, always be willing to see, how can I serve with a cheerful heart? How can I be willing and aware and alert and thoughtful toward my spouse? You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. The phone lines are ringing. We'd love to hear from you. What was it for you? Were you willing to marry someone as a Catholic? If you're married, were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? Why or why not? And how did it work out? We have a couple people on the line right now. We're going to take Deacon Terry from San Diego. He says he's been married 40 years. Deacon Terry, share with us a little bit about whether or not you were willing to marry someone who wasn't. Why?
Happy to hear you. What's is the question? Did it work out? Is that the question? Oh, sorry about that. So, yes, we were married. We got together about 40 years ago. We've been married 39. We're going on 40. I was ordained as a deacon in 2017, and she, of course, was part of that diaconate journey with me those 5.5 years. But even before we were married, I knew she was a better Catholic than I was. She was the most loving, giving, most charitable person I had ever been with. And I knew that it didn't matter whether or not she was Catholic or not. But as God, of course, made sure, she became Catholic by the time we were married.
That's incredible, Deacon Terry. I think such a testament, because so often people think, well, does Catholicism really matter as a check mark on that list of things I want when I get married? But you showed that there was this incredible potency of future Catholicism within her, a goodness in her heart, and I imagine a tendency toward some type of religion. Did she have any type of religion that was a part of her practice at the time?
She did, but she did it quietly, silently, and secretly. Her parents were not religious. A church close to her whenever she could get out on a Sunday without being noticed.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing, Deacon Terry. God bless you. Wow, incredible. 40 years later, 39 years of marriage. I pray that my marriage can make it that far. And I pray if you're listening now that yours does and that many years go beyond that. Kim's calling us from Green Bay. She's sharing she has 5 children and she also married a non-Catholic. This is fascinating. The question that I posed is, if you're married, was marrying a Catholic something that was a non-negotiable? Were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? Why not, and how did it go? Kim, share with us your story.
Well, thank you for your show. I really enjoy it. And I want to tell you that I met my husband when we were in grade school. I come from a large family, and I'm one of the younger ones. And my older sisters used to babysit for my husband before I even knew him. And we dated through high school, and then when we graduated high school, we would talk about maybe someday getting married. And he was a different religion, and I was Catholic. And he agreed that if we ever married, he would raise the children Catholic. And then we got married in 81. We had 4 children, and when our youngest was 9, we became pregnant with our 5th. And while I was still pregnant with her, he came into the church on Easter Vigil, and our first 4 children were serving at that Mass, and I sponsored my husband. And this summer, he actually became very, very involved and is kind of on fire with the church, and he's into teaching confirmation classes, and he just loves it. And come this summer, we will be married 40 years.
Wow. Congratulations. What a beautiful testament. What was it about your husband, Kim, that you were okay to marry him even though he wasn't Catholic?
He was always very supportive of my religion, and before we were married, I would go to church with him sometimes. But I said, I'll go to church with you, but you still have to come with me on the same day because I didn't want to miss Mass. So sometimes, most of the time, we just went, before we were married, we just went to the Catholic church. But if he ever wanted to go to his church, we'd go to Catholic first, and then I'd go sit through the service with him. And he just said when we got married, he says, you really are stronger in your faith than I am in mine. The kids need to be Catholic. And I said, okay, it's not a problem. Let's get married. And, you know, it took, you know, when we got married, he told me he would turn Catholic, but he didn't until several years later, which I didn't push him on it. But he always went to church with me even before we had kids. And then once we started having kids, he'd always still continue to go to church with me. And then I've just been very blessed with a wonderful husband. And he just loves the Catholic faith right now. He just, anytime he has an opportunity to talk about it, he does.
Kim, for anyone who perhaps has a spouse who is not Catholic, you waited, it wasn't until your 5th child came along that he converted. What one tip of advice do you have for a spouse who's married to a non-Catholic?
Well, I never pushed on him. Every once in a while, the subject would come up, and he said, yeah, I really ought to do that. And I said, it just would really be nice. And I don't think our kids even at the time realized he wasn't Catholic. And I just didn't push. We would talk about it periodically every now and then, but I just never pushed him and said, you have to do it. It's like I would tell him, you know, yes, it would be very nice for you to come into the church, but I would like you to do it because you want to and not because you think you have to. And
thanks for sharing your story, you know, with us, Kim. This is such a powerful testament to people who are trying to figure out, you know, do I possibly compromise my Catholicism? I think it's so important. And there are two perspectives. Some people saw there were incredible traits like yourself, Kim, and Deacon Terry, and others say it was a non-negotiable. Now, a little story here. My sister, when she went on her first date with her now husband of 2 years, by the way, we got married 2 weeks apart. And when she went on that first date, she laid it down hard. Like, it was all at once. She made it clear, no sex till marriage. I'm only marrying a Catholic. And she had a number of other things that she laid down on the table that day. Well, he converted to Catholicism and was baptized within a couple months of them being married. And actually, this week, prayers for him, prayers for Brandon, he just celebrated his second year anniversary of his baptism, of coming into the Catholic Church. So a really special day for him. So, you know, some people say I won't marry you until the day comes. And it works well for some people. Now, I personally said I wouldn't date a non-Catholic, and there's so many different perspectives. I have another call. Christine in Stockton has been married 31 years. Were you willing to marry someone, Christine, who wasn't Catholic?
No, I wasn't.
Why?
It was very important to me that they were Catholic because it would give me a sense of who they were from their very core. My husband and I are both cradle Catholics. We were both immersed in ministries at the church in different ways, and we actually met on a Franciscan retreat. And it was just, you know, it was just really, really important to me that that was the common bond for us.
Praise God. And it's been successful for you. How many years of marriage again?
31, with God's grace every day.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And isn't this the great thing that even if you marry a non-Catholic, because as a Catholic, you have to marry in the Catholic Church, you have the graces of the sacrament. And that is what is such a gift. Even in those situations where some people are willing to marry someone who isn't Catholic, the graces of the sacrament are present and prevalent. And this is why it's so important that we pray for our spouses, whether or not they are Catholic. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. We're going to come back in just a little bit. Again, the question, I would love to hear from you. Are you willing to marry, or were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? If so, why? Why not? And how did it work out for you? If you'd like to share your thoughts online, you can head over to relevantradio.com/trending to connect on social media. Coming up, we'll be talking about whether or not moving in together is the next step in a relationship prior to marriage. We'll also discuss some common arguments about divorce. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to our weekly marriage hour here on Trending. One of the questions that we always ask people who are dating, are you willing to marry someone who isn't Catholic? And people have a lot of opinions on it. So if you're married, I'd love to hear from you. Were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? Why or why not? And how did it work out? Give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can always call. We'd love to hear your question today during our weekly marriage hour, or reach out on social media to share your thoughts. So here's the deal. Marriage matters for kids. There is a recent survey of information that came out from the census data. That census we all had to participate in last year wasn't even in the middle of COVID. Like, I guess they were just trying to give us something to do where we'd be home and fill out all this information. Well, here's the deal. It's been really, really clear that the number of kids raised by single moms has more than doubled in the last 50 years. I'll say that again. The number of kids raised by single moms has more than doubled in the last 50 years. You know what this says to me? Marriage matters for kids. marriage really does matter for kids, and here's why. Kids raised by single moms are more likely, listen, to be depressed. They're 2 times more likely than kids who come from intact families to be incarcerated. They fail more at school. They fail at school. They tend to have ADD, attention deficit disorder, and a number of other symptoms of coming from a home without a father. Now, some kids are fine. I know some of you will call, write to me and say, hey, I had a single mom and I turned out just fine. She was incredible. I'm not criticizing moms here. What I'm saying is when one parent is missing, especially the father, it has a lasting impact. And so what we as Catholics, I think, really need to work on is we need to work on promoting a culture that encourages marriage, especially in a culture right now where a lot of women are single Pringle in their 40s, and they really want to have children. And they're using third-party reproductive technologies in order to have children because they want a kid, but they're doing it alone. And they're fine with that. But what we're not talking about is the fact that that has a lasting impact on the children. And so we need to reshape and have these conversations with our single friends, with people who are at risk of a divorce. By the way, we're going to talk about some of the common arguments about divorce in just a minute here. Because we, as a Catholic Church, are truly the only church that continues to uphold the sanctity of marriage, the holiness of marriage, that it's something set apart, something special, a vocation for men and women, and that kids have a right to their mother and their father. These are such important things. And so what can we do? One, build up a pro-marriage culture. Two, we can support and encourage parents, especially because so many parents, many fathers actually, in fact, tend to choose to be absent because they don't feel like they would be a good parent. I have heard this so often. The kid's better off without me. Some of this comes from familial wounds and challenges in the home that they themselves experienced, a lack of confidence in their adult life as well. And it's also important to acknowledge that although this is a statistic referencing the census data that the number of kids raised by single moms has more than doubled in the last 50 years, it's also important to remember that absentee parents within actual intact marriages, parents who just are tuned out, we're seeing the same symptoms for some of these kids. And so this is why complimenting and encouraging parents is so important, especially if you are a seasoned parent, grandparent, who can provide that compliment for a younger parent, for someone who's just getting started, just working at telling them they're a good mom, telling them they can do this. I've seen so often among my friends who are parents, especially among the women, there's often a lot of doubt and uncertainty about how they're doing as a parent, whether or not they're capable of doing this. And so compliment and affirm moms and dads. Help them to have the confidence they need in order to be able to accomplish the mission that they've been tasked with and are capable of. You're listening to Trending with Timmery here on Relevant Radio. I've asked the question, if you're married, were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? Why? Why not? Why was it important to you? Steve from Pasadena is on the line right now. He says, I'm not Catholic. And he's willing to share a little bit about what mattered to him with regard to who he was marrying. Love to hear from you, Steve. What's your story?
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Timmery. I listen to Relevant Radio all the time as I'm driving. I'm a chaplain. And so I visit with a lot of Catholic patients. And my Relevant Radio is a wonderful resource for me. But I did marry. I am a non-Catholic Christian. It was really important for me. We've been married 30 years. And it was just really important right from the start that I had someone who shared my faith, who could pray, who wanted to pray and really seek God about the things that were important for us. Mm-hmm. And we, even though we are different in many ways, as all couples are, we have different political views, different other things that come up that we may not agree with, we can always pray together. and that really brings us together.
Steve, so thank you so much for sharing that. So prayer was the most important for you as a non-Catholic Christian. How do you and your spouse pray together now?
We pray about everything. We sometimes will read through different devotionals together and before going to bed at night and just pray for our friends, pray for things going on in our lives, the direction we're taking. And we've had times when we've had been ill or something would happen, and our first recourse, of course, we believe in doctors and using them. I'm a chaplain in a hospice, so we use doctors all the time. But a lot of times we'll just pray, and things that normally we might need to go to the doctor for are healed.
Praise God. Praise God. Steve, one last question. How long have you been married?
30 years.
Wow, 30 years of marriage. Congratulations to you and your bride 30 years later. Thanks for calling, thanks for sharing, and thanks for listening to Relevant Radio. Monica from Minnesota is on the line. Again, the question I've been asking, if you'd like to share your story, give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. The question is, were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? If so, why or why not? How did it go? Monica, you've been married 3 times. We just lost Monica. Okay, so I want to keep talking about this. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Karen, who is our producer here at Relevant Radio at Trending with Timory, she does the Family Rosary, is with us now, and she's going to share a little bit about her parents and whether or not they were marrying Catholics.
Hey, Timory. Well, I am grateful that my dad married a non-Catholic. My mom grew up Southern Baptist and married a Catholic, and it was very scandalous in my mother's family. My own grandfather did not go to her wedding because she married a Catholic. So you think about a lot of the deep set misunderstandings among Protestants and Catholics was like, and he was her only daughter. But my grandmother went, she made her dress, and my parents married in the Catholic faith. My mother converted later. And sadly, my parents did not stay married. They were divorced after 10 years. And I have 3 sisters, and we all grew up Catholic. And so my mother always said, out of her marriage, she was most grateful to receive her Catholic faith and her 4 children. So I'm grateful for that. So, yeah.
Wow. And isn't that such a testament that when we hold to this Catholicism within marriage, even if you don't marry a Catholic, how, like you just said, she said the greatest thing was that she received her Catholicism from her marriage
and her children. And it is interesting, you know, the grace of that sacrament, even though, you know, her marriage ended in divorce and it was annulled by the church. The grace of the sacrament maybe still remains. I don't know, but she has a strong faith and loves her Catholic faith and loves to be involved, you know, in what our faith, what our religion offers us, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's funny how things work out, but I think grace has always been with us. And it was really tough growing up with a single, you know, kid of a single mom. In the 70s, I mean, 4 girls. Oh, my gosh, we were a crazy household. My poor mother. We had fun, though, and we a lot of love in that time. You know, kids are unaware of a lot.
Yeah. What's your reaction, then, is we're hearing the census data that more than 50% more kids today are born with single moms, have single moms in their upbringing.
It's so tough. It's almost like I don't understand why the culture really allows it. You know, I mean, I want men to be brave and respect their role as a father. But I don't know. I think from my point of view, it was the 70s. And I feel like my dad just was like, I'm going to drop out and do all the, you know, we called it the hippie things back then.
Free love.
And just reject the whole standard, you know, White House picket fence thing. And, you know, it was a great wound in our family that he did that. I mean, we have 4 little girls that didn't have a daddy, you know. But you know what? Here's a great thing about this story. It's like, my grandfather, the Southern Baptist, took us in and helped raise us. And he was my father figure. So even with the differences of religion, and he wasn't going to stand in the way of us growing up Catholic. I grew up with both. I grew up with a Southern Baptist background and a Catholic background. And it was really neat to see that the proof of his love for us and his love for God, regardless of disagreements over religion, it's in my life. You know, we were loved and cared for, and there was a real man in our life, mm-hmm. Despite my dad's failings. But
that's such a testament to the necessity that if you perhaps are a single parent who the dad's not present in your kid's life, finding that male role model who will be present. And the fact that your grandfather, Karen, who didn't go to the wedding because it was a Catholic wedding.
Yeah. He did come Baptist, to my Catholic wedding.
But he raised four Catholic girls.
He did. Yes. It's really funny how things work out. And he came to my Catholic wedding and watched me get married to a Catholic, and you know, he danced at my wedding reception, which is very controversial for a Southern Baptist.
Were you allowed to go to dances growing up then?
I was kind of nerdy. I didn't really get to go to many dances. There wasn't a permission or non-permission, but you know, he really didn't have the upper hand in a household of women. I mean, but my poor grandpa, but anyway. He got out when it got crazy, so but he helped us through the little years, and he's just a great guy. I always tell my husband, Ralph, I think I married a good guy because I had a good grandpa to make me understand what a good guy was, you know, because obviously you can have wounds, and, you know, yes, you do bring wounds into relationships, but, I mean, what do we say? Nothing is impossible with God, so nothing is impossible.
Amen. That's Karen Moran, our producer here for Trending with Tim Ray, who we're going to miss. We only have a couple more weeks together. She has been a huge compliment in building up this show. She's the brains behind the operation, and she will be greatly missed here at Trending with Tim Ray. So we're thankful for everything that she has given Relevant Radio, and especially this show and what you hear every single day. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. If you have a question, want to share your story about marrying a non-Catholic or Catholic, the number is 1-888-914-9149. Susie from Southern California has been married 10 years, and she said that Catholicism was non-negotiable. Share with us why that was.
Hi, Tim Ray. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, at the age of 31, I was discerning marriage, and I made a list of the things that I knew I needed in a man, and the number one thing there was that he had to be Catholic. As God had done so many wonderful things in my life, there was no way I was going to turn my back on him. And so, indeed, the first thing on my list was he had to be Catholic, and then, of course, all the other wonderful, warm, and cozy things that every woman wants in a man. But and then I met a guy, and I told my friend, I don't know if he's Catholic, and I'm afraid to ask. But when it finally turned up that he was raised without religion at all, and he had been searching the Muslim community, all other Christianity forms out there, he had searched and he didn't find it. And when he met me, I was serving in a young adult group called Search for Christ, and I had just gone on a retreat to serve and came back on fire like we all do, and he wanted what I had, and he invited himself to the next retreat. And at that retreat, he had an amazing conversion, a wonderful conversation with God, and he decided that he indeed wanted to be a Catholic, and he immediately signed up at the first Catholic church that he found. Actually, he did his research for the RCIA program. He didn't go to just any church. He did his research. He found a good program, and he went through it, became Catholic at the age of 28, and then we married about 9 months later. And I didn't tell him until much later that if he hadn't been or even was Catholic, that marriage wasn't going to come into my mind. And just blind faith, I guess. I don't know. He just went and did it all on his own. I never said anything to him. And now he gives talks at these young adult groups about Catholic Foundation. He reads
it's incredible.
Books on Catholicism all the time. And it's amazing. He's more knowledgeable about the faith than I am.
This And this is such a testament, whether it has to do with religion, Catholicism, or even just kind of dating or the presence of marriage, when women try to take control of the situation, the men start to become apathetic. They stop chasing. They stop pursuing. And I think that this is the case as well in religion. Perhaps you're married to someone who isn't Catholic, or someone whose Catholicism could be a little more better, right? A little better. Us pestering doesn't cause that to flourish. And it's so hard because we want to change things. We want to fix things. We want that control, right? But we have to let go. We have to abandon it into God's hands. And remember the witness of Christian spouses. Specifically in the early church, it was women who were converting to Catholicism in droves right after the time of Christ. And so St. Peter and a number of the other Catholic, the books in the Bible and the New Testament, they write about how Christian wives are to behave because they had unbelieving husbands, and it was by their gentle witness. It was actually by their submission and cooperation in marriage that end up leading to this massive worldwide conversion of Catholicism that we have today. So if you have a spouse who isn't Catholic or could do more better, right? A little better in their marriage, in their faith. Don't become, especially for us women, the pursuers, the hunters, the controllers, because it's not what brings about great conversions, as hard as it is. It's an opportunity of humility and dependence on God at the end of the day. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll discuss whether or not moving in together is a next step in marriage and a couple of arguments that people often give for divorce and why we as Catholics need to be able to respond and not let these weasel their way into our marriages.
Timory will be right back. You can reach her on Instagram and Twitter at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome to our weekly Marriage Hour here on Trending. If you have a question about marriage you'd like to hear it discussed, go ahead and reach out. You can head over to relevantradio.com/trending, where you can ask your questions, connect on social media, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you're listening. If you're listening on that Relevant Radio app, share this show with others. Do it right now. Text it to a friend. So is moving in together the next step? I was at a wedding a couple years ago and I didn't know anyone there. I'm sitting with the groom's family and lo and behold, I end up chatting with one of these guys and he's sharing about how he didn't bring his girlfriend to the wedding. I said, why? He said, well, I knew that the next person I brought to a wedding would be the person I'm going to marry. And I said, so are you willing to marry her? And he said, I don't know. And I said, okay. So what are you trying to figure out? How long have you been dating? They had been dating for a number of years. And I said, so you're still not sure if you want to marry her after that many years of dating? It had been, I don't know, say 3, 6, 8 years, something like that. Whether it was 3 or 8, still, there should be some answers popping up by then for sure if you hit the three-year mark. And he was, you know, probably close to 30-ish. And so I said, but, you know, I'm thinking about taking the next step. And I said, what's that? If you're not going to marry her, right? And he said, okay, Miss Catholic Chastity Speaker. And I was like, oh, hold on. I haven't said anything about being Catholic or being chaste. I just asked what the next step is. And he said, well, I'm thinking about asking her to move in with me. And I said, so is moving in together really the next step in marriage? And he said, well, I mean, and he kind of like starts fumbling. And I said, well, okay. And I said, think about this for a second. Do you know any of the statistics about living together before marriage? I said, no. And I said, well, you're less likely to get married down the road. So the moment you move in together, it decreases the likelihood that you'll ever get married. Not only that, it increases the likelihood that you will divorce if you do get married. Also, do you care about this woman? He said, well, yeah, I'm thinking about moving in with her. I almost brought her to this wedding. I said, okay, well, do you want her to experience this? He goes, what? And I said, do you want her to experience a lot of anxiety in your relationship? He said, well, no. He said, why would she be anxious? Well, because she always knows that one fight could lead to you two separating. She also would always feel like she can never fully be herself because there's always the potential that you could leave, walk out. Why? Because you're not married. All you've committed to is living together. And this is the challenge when we have a pro-divorce culture. When we have a culture that just moves in with each other, it breeds an attitude that one person can always leave. The door is always open. And that means we can never be ourselves. We can never be confident in our relationships or our marriage. Divorce kills. Divorce kills relationships. That attitude, the tendency, the default of thinking of divorce. But so does moving in with each other. It's like this. Instead of saying, will you marry me? Will you be my wife? Instead you say, will you be my roommate? Does it sound very nice? And if something goes wrong, who moves out? As I heard it put the other day, this question was posed. And you know what the guy said? He was asking his girlfriend to move in with him. And the woman said, well, okay, if something goes wrong, who moves out? And he looks at her and he goes, well, it's my apartment. And I'm like, oh, okay. If that doesn't answer your question, I don't know what else does. And Karen just put it perfectly. Will you pay for half of the rent? You know, what's going to happen here? There's so many complemented, intertwined messes. Why not just wait for marriage? It's better that way. It provides protection for yourself, for your heart, for your marriage long term. You're more likely to get married, less likely to divorce. Those are two things that are very, very deeply rooted in the culture right now. People are upset because they're not getting married, dating for too long, and they're also frustrated because marriages are breaking. Why would we do something that would contribute to that? You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Ask the question, if you're married, were you willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic? If so, how did it go? Why or why not? John is calling from Louisiana, and he's saying he married someone who wasn't Catholic. What's your story?
Okay. Our differences in religion was a source of conflict throughout our marriage. I'm still married to her today. And the other thing is, I think if we were both Catholic and shared the same beliefs and principles, that we'd have an easier route to reconciling our differences.
So how long have you been married?
Oh, for about 30 years.
30 years. So it sounds like there have been some challenges along the way, but you've been able to work it out.
Yeah. It's been kind of tough because there's other issues as well besides just being of a different religion. But if I knew what I know now, I wouldn't have gotten married to this woman in the beginning. And I think it's a good idea to marry somebody who, if you're a Catholic, to marry another Catholic.
John, thank you for sharing. Somebody. Yeah, Catholicism is important if you're Catholic. What's helped you persevere through the challenges and still being together 30 years later?
Just that I have a high level of tolerance, I guess. Mm. And just, you know, I'm not a person that's going to give up easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the virtue, praise God, the virtue of stoicism, long suffering. What has helped keep you faithful in your marriage?
Just the belief in right and wrong.
Praise God. Praise God. You know, thank you for sharing your story, John. It's John from Louisiana. 30 years of marriage, even in the face of challenges. He's pushed through it, but he recommends marry a Catholic. He wishes that he had. We pray for you and pray for your spouse, John. Keep up the good fight. Persevere. And remember to pray for your wife, your bride. She's still your bride 30 years later. Paul's calling from California. He said he told his wife it was okay she wasn't Catholic. Paul, what's your story?
Well, I think she understood that that may not be true, and I never did ask her to marry me until she converted and became a Catholic. And
you waited.
Next month it'll be, next year it'll be, next month it'll be 48. And the project we got going now has been most challenging but delightful, and that's raising our daughter, who is 22 years old, together. We have 6 children, and she's the latest of the bunch.
Praise God.
She's finishing college.
Well, congratulations on 48 years of marriage and a beautiful family, and for persevering and waiting for her to convert. Did you ever tell her, did she ever know that you wouldn't marry her if she wasn't Catholic?
Now, she didn't know. At least she never... We didn't speak about it, but I remember being at home with my mother one time, and she says, I was 23 and she was 19. She says, "You serious about this gal?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And she says, "Well, if you're not serious, you ought to cut her loose because she's got a life to live." And I mean, I think about it. I was 23, she's 19. Now that's nothing, as far as age.
Yes.
And my mother is telling me I'm wasting the girl's life if I keep hanging around like that.
Yeah, but it's true. Just because people get married later.
The girl converts, we get married. We get married at that age. And now here it is, 50 years later.
Paul, thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for helping bring another Catholic into the church. We can't really take credit for the conversion to Catholicism. It's really all the Holy Spirit. But we can be an instrument of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. And I think that this is the testament that we see from so many people who were willing to marry someone who wasn't Catholic, but they saw something there, something good, something great that would lead to Catholicism one day. Or they held out on getting married until that person converted because it was something that mattered to them. Boy, I wish we could count up how many years of marriage experience we just had. We've had a couple of 48, some 50s, some 30s. I think we were at like a few hundred years of marriage wisdom and advice here on Trending at this point. Pretty incredible to hear marriages that are lasting that long. So as we're talking about marriages that endure, I wanted to talk about a couple of arguments that people have for divorcing. Because as Catholics, we are the religion that continues to uphold fidelity within marriage, that continues to hold on to the importance of children within marriage, of giving a child a right to a mother and a father. And so Layla Miller, she's the author of a number of books, one of which tells a story of adult children whose parents divorced and what the impact has been on them. But she also tells a story of impossible marriages redeemed. We'll actually link to those books in the podcast notes today because they're incredible resources of hope and healing, especially for marriages that were on the brink of divorce. But there are a couple arguments that she mentioned for why people tend to divorce I want to discuss here. One of them, the first one that we often hear is, well, what about the case of abuse? So many people, even Catholics, they know that the church doesn't support divorce, but they say, well, the person was being abused, so that's okay if they divorce. I'll never forget, some years ago, a friend of mine, she grew up with her parents married, but legally separated. They were still married in the eyes of the church. And I remember her sharing the story about how even in the face of the mistakes and the abuse and the damage that her father had done in their lives, her mother always was faithful to their vows, to their marital vows. The door was always open if her father were to be clean and to be responsible and to be someone who would be safe to be around her and her siblings and mother. And it really spoke, she would speak of how her mother showed honor to the father even when the father wasn't being someone who is healthy or good for the family. Her mother always showed how to honor someone. And isn't that the challenge? Even when someone doesn't deserve respect and honor, well, you could just say you write them off, that there's still honor for a person, honor for a man, honor for the institution of marriage, the sacrament, that there's even this attitude of mercy and unconditional love, but also how important it is that her mom always showed that expectations matter, safety matters. What this did is that it taught her kids self-respect. It taught them honor, mercy, love. And it's important to ponder that abuse is never acceptable, but that doesn't mean it's a reason for divorce within the Catholic Church. Legal separation, so-called divorce, yes, but remember, divorce doesn't mean you're not married in the eyes of the church. You were still married in the eyes of the church. But isn't this a struggle? Just because a spouse is struggling, just because a spouse is an endangerment to themselves or others, in other words, just because they're sinning, doesn't make them no longer your spouse. And what an incredible story that this mom, even in the face of the husband's physical abuse and in the face of their physical legal separation, she was still able to teach her children the importance of marriage, the honoring of a parent, and she was still honoring the soul bond that is made within the sacrament of matrimony, emphasizing that when one suffers, both suffer. That one, when one in good times and in bad, that they still honor their marital sacrament. This is a great testimony to marriage, to why fidelity matters and why marriage matters for children, even when one spouse isn't honoring that marriage. Catholicism gets it right. Marriage matters. It matters for kids. Kids come out better and have greater longevity when we hold to a culture of pro-marriage and fidelity. I'll be back tomorrow with our matchmaker, Christina Pineda, here on Trending. You guys have a great night.